Welcome to The New Normal, an online show sponsored by Dash Cam Festival. Born out of the mandatory quarantine that much of the country is now experiencing due to COVID-19, our goal is to provide some culture, content, and community in these uncertain times, because we're all going to be stuck at home for a while. So let's begin. So welcome, everybody, to this Point of No Return, which is a special travel edition spinoff of my normal podcast, which is called Undisclosed Location. In a way, this is kind of an undisclosed location because I'm broadcasting from a hotel room in Waltham, Massachusetts. It is Wednesday, August 12th, and I am on the third day of our 14 or so day road trip from Illinois to Boston and New York City and points around those areas. So I'm doing it with my family, who is sitting quietly behind us in our hotel room. And I'm here with my good friend, Karen, who's also my partner in crime. The Point of No Return project is a subsidiary, I would say. It's a Float production, and we won't get into too much about Float, but Karen and I are creative partners in a lot of media projects such as this one. So again, as I mentioned, we are 3 days into our trip, and as you probably are wondering, those of you listening, what are we doing on a road trip? Because we are also in the middle of COVID and the pandemic. And part of what I wanted to get into is the feeling of traveling during quarantine, because there's a lot of opinions, shall we say, about whether one should be traveling, how one should be traveling. And what we found as we began this road trip is that while Illinois is one of the great states as far as reducing transmission, we are on that list of states which, if you come to Massachusetts or New York, you're supposed to quarantine for 2 weeks if you have not had a COVID test within that time frame. And in both states, you're also supposed to register with the state authorities so that, you know, they can track you and know where you are. So there's a certain amount of anxiety in traveling, and I wanted to kind of document that in this travel blog. We feel that we are being very responsible travelers. All of us in our family got a COVID test and we're all negative. But, you know, people don't necessarily know that. And when they see an out-of-state Illinois license plate, you can only wonder what they're thinking. Or are they avoiding us? Are we going to get pulled over? What will people think? What will the neighbors think? So I wanted to kind of document that as an audio project, just to sort of grapple with those issues. So that's kind of the introduction to why I'm doing this. And so let me just introduce again my content partner in crime, Karen Black. Hello, Karen.
Hello, everyone. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
I'm glad that you brought up the pandemic there for everyone, because I was going to say, you need to say it's August 12th, 2020 for context, for when the aliens find this piece of content, you know, a couple hundred years from now.
Yes. Well, speaking of aliens, we were visiting a relative in Waltham, and there happens to be what I've been told was a Catholic church there. And it looks like an alien spacecraft landed there. And I have no idea what the name of the church is, but it's like this egg very like space gray with like some panels open with the window. I mean, it looks like something in a, you know, that with that one movie that Jodie Foster did, like First Contact or something. So I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about. Now I'm going to have to look that up. For anyone who's listening, I lived in Massachusetts for a total of 14 years, which is part of why Mark invited me to be on the show tonight.
Yes, and I do want to dedicate a good portion of this talk to Boston, because this is a travelogue, and I will tell you, we have a very strange form of travel in our family. We are only here in Boston less than 24 hours. We were here to see a relative we haven't seen in a long time. She's a nun. But Karen and I have been sort of, you've been giving me some tips on what to do in Boston. The only thing which I can really say for sure is that I had the best clam chowder from Legal Seafood. But even that was kind of a challenge, because the main location I think is closed, the one in downtown Boston.
Well, and everybody, Mark has been badgering me about where to get the best clam chowder, and I have two things to say about that. It is not easy to give restaurant recommendations to people during this pandemic because of all of the modified hours and operations of places, but also I have a weird aversion to thinking about eating clam chowder in the summertime, because to me it's a winter kind of thing. He ate it all, guys. I'm looking at him on the video. Also, I'm not ashamed to say that I pointed Mark to Legal Seafoods, even though it's technically a chain restaurant, because I think they have very good clam chowder. And of course, when you're getting it up there in New England, the seafood's really fresh. Although I did send Mark a link to some shishi chowder choices today, but they were unable to make it to any of those.
Well, if you could see on our video, and unfortunately you guys are going to be listening to this, the audio, but this clam chowder came in a plastic tub and I wolfed it down so fast. I mean, it was delicious. But I'm sure I'm going to get into a clam chowder war when we get to New York with our New York friends, because, you know, there's Manhattan-style clam chowder. And every time we go and visit our friends in New York, I get into an absolute war about pizza, because I insist that Chicago-style deep-dish pizza is the bomb and that no other pizza can hold up to that, which, of course, they poo-poo. Because, you know, they drag us to the New York style pizza, which is like a, you know, giant piece of melted cheese, and, you know, you can't even eat it. You got to fold this. But they call deep dish, you know, a cake or something, a casserole.
Well, you know, the pizza wars are real, but Boston would never have an entry in that competition. And Boston doesn't care. But as far as the clam chowder wars, I would say it's a lot like the Red Sox and the Yankees there.
So, and unfortunately we had to adjust our plans. Karen, also you recommended a cannoli place, Mike's Pastry, and
I'm sorry, but listeners, I want to tell you, Mark thinks I recommended Mike's Pastries to him, and I did. I used the words Mike's Pastries in my recommendation, but another friend of his also said that Mike's was a must visit. I was trying to send Mark and his family to the North End, because during the pandemic, there's a big part of Hanover Street that I've read is shut down to traffic with outdoor cafe tables. I was counting on the fact that the North End oozes charm and history, even in a pandemic. And I was trying to convince Mark and family to go to Modern Pastry, which is my favorite. But once again, on the topic of food wars, you've got your people who love Mike's the best, your people who love Modern the best. And then there's also Bova Bakery in the North End, which is a beloved institution.
Right. So, and like I said, that this is not a food podcast.
It sounds like it is.
I mean, I will go there and I will get some stuff. My New York friend, I said, we'll pick up some Mike's, you know, pastry cannoli and bring them to you. And she's like, oh, but they're not good after a day. So,
that's,
you know,
true. That is so true. You can't ask them not to fill them, and then you can carry the filling in a separate container if you really want to. But
okay.
They're only good the day of. It's true.
Right. I will keep that in mind. But, you know, kind of getting back to what we were talking about, this whole pandemic and travel, you know, the plastic tub, that's what life is now, right? Because people don't want to go out. Even though at Legal Seafood, there were a ton of people on their deck at their location. You know, it's to go, it's delivery. So I think it was fortunate that the clam chowder didn't lose too much in the transit in a plastic tub.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad that you still consider it to be a delicious dinner. But back to the pandemic, the travel that you guys are doing, and the whole point of this side spinoff to your regular vlogs, and podcast. You call it the point of no return. I just have to say, I almost want to challenge you that it is the no point of no return, because you drove all the way from Chicago to Eastern Massachusetts, which is an amazing place that is beloved to me, and you only made it to Waltham. So I kind of want to strangle you.
Believe me, we have a lot of discussion. My wife says how when we're retired and we're like little old men and women and we're dragging one of those little mini trailers, then our style of vacationing will change. But now it's very task focused, right? You got to get to point A to point B. And then like tomorrow, I don't know if you've ever done this, we are catching the ferry from Massachusetts to Long Island. And so,
I have not done that, but Lexa, my best friend from college, who you know, Mark, she's from Long Island, and so she knows the ferry well.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, again, you can't be late for the ferry.
No.
So, you know, we can't dawdle. It's very much task focused travel. And I've been to Boston before. You know, I was in Harvard Square, and you know, it's a very
common
thing.
This is nothing new to you. I didn't know that. Yeah.
And I will say, because I just drove about an hour ago to go pick up the Legal Seafood in whatever that neighborhood was.
You were in Chestnut Hill in Newton.
Yeah.
Chestnut Hill.
So,
yeah.
as a Uber driver, Boston's kind of fun, I have to say. I think some people have said that it's one of the most difficult cities to drive, and I can see why. Because to continue the food metaphor, you know, Chicago, which you've lived in, is a grid system, right? So the streets are pretty much, you know, vertical, horizontal, in a grid, like graph paper. Here, I told my kids, Boston is like you take a plate of spaghetti and you just dump it on the floor. And that's what the streets look like. But I felt like I was, you know, driving in one of those video games where it's like curving and then double U-turn, then over this bridge. And
pardon me, everybody. I was wondering how you, as sort of almost a professional driver, a former career driver, would find the streets there. And apparently I've learned, so I also lived in Chicago for 3.5 years. That's how I know Mark. I've learned throughout living in these different places that a lot of times with our old American cities, the way the streets are laid out has to do with whether or not there was ever a big fire there back in the days of yore. And so there were some fires in Boston of note, but nothing like the Great Chicago Fire, which I think plowed through so many hundreds and hundreds of city blocks that then you guys got your complete grid system after that when they rebuilt.
Yeah.
But Boston, all of those windy roads and one-way streets are all the old cow paths and cart paths from the founding of the city. Yeah.
The streets tend to be very narrow. And I really don't know what Uber and Lyft drivers would do, because a lot of these streets, if your passenger is on the wrong side of the street, like what do? You can't make a U-turn. or you've got to really do this circuitous route to get around and pick them up on the correct side of the street.
It's true. And then, okay, so take all of the things that you've just described, add to that the fact that Massachusetts is in love with traffic roundabouts, which they call rotaries, as they call rotaries in some places. Of course, with the Mass accent, it's a rotary. So they got their rotary and you're trying to go around. They have terrible signage. The road signage is just bad. It's not even like in some cities where you go and some of it's missing because it's been stolen by, you know, teenage kids. It's just poorly marked. And then they're in love with one-way streets, and places there are very political. So when I lived in Somerville, Mass, I lived in an area where over time there were so many little city politicians that lived in my neighborhood that they got a row after row of street that went from on the top of the hill to the bottom, to all be going one way in the same direction for like 11 or 12 blocks. Because it stopped people from cutting through that neighborhood to get to the bigger street. So if you were just driving around that neighborhood, if you missed the turn, you had to go down 12 blocks to turn around. We could have like a whole podcast series about this topic. So
right.
You won't stay on it that long tonight. But yeah, driving there is a challenge. I think it's cute that you called it fun. I think during the pandemic when there's not so much traffic, it might be fun, but...
Well, yeah. And I mean, it took me 15 minutes or so to get to this legal Seafoods by jumping on 90. Mm-hmm. And there was no backup. So I would imagine under normal times, it's like Chicago with hellacious traffic.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Well, so back to what you were saying. Yes. I, as a traveler and urbanite, I know what you're saying. It's like if somebody came to visit me in Chicago and they were staying in Schaumburg, you know, it's like, oh yeah, this is Chicago's great Woodfield Mall. And, you know,
right.
That isn't, you know, it's not Chicago. So it's not a real Boston visit. And I know you wanted us to go down to see the ships and the Freedom and, you know, Paul Revere, but
you missed the Freedom. Look, it's okay because one day you'll have your chance to go back. It sounds like you've already seen it, and the kids will be able to see Boston someday. And you know, mm-hmm. with you having two formative young people, if we weren't having a pandemic, I would have sent you on college tours. But you know, you just can't do that right now, so it's okay.
There is a chance that we might go to Walden Pond up here. And you said there's a Little Women was filmed up here, the Louisa May Alcott house.
Yes. Yes. Orchard House it's called. And that is in Concord, which you guys are, I don't think Waltham borders Walden Pond, but it might border it. But anyway, you guys are like in the bottom eastern, like southeastern border. So you're underneath Walden Pond. And above Walden Pond is the suburb of Concord, Lexington and Concord, not just known for Louisa May Alcott's Orchard House, but also where Paul Revere made his ride and a bunch of other cool things. Although, you know, it wasn't Paul Revere by the time,
right.
By the time they got to the end there, there were like three or four riders. So, yeah.
Well, now today's probably right next door to a Costco.
No, actually, downtown Concord is really charming. It's oozing with colonial charm.
Because our hotel is right next door to a Costco.
Oh, that's sexy. You can get all your warehouse needs taken care of.
Right.
So back to traveling during a pandemic. I think we should tell people that the reason you went all the way out of your way to be in Massachusetts for less than 24 hours is because of an old nun.
She is elderly, yes. She's Judy's aunt,
yes,
who has spent the majority of her life working with prisoners at a jail in Peru. So, you know, she's fluent in Spanish. Peru is her home. But because of the pandemic and also her age, her order decided to transfer her back to the Mother House, which is in Waltham. So we spent the afternoon having a very nice lunch outside, because when we talked to her, she's like, oh yeah, come visit me. But then the Mother Superior got wind of it. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Where are they coming from? Have they had their temperatures checked? Have they had a COVID? And so I was telling you this the other day when she called and I was chatting with her. She was like, oh, okay, we decided you can come because I talked to the police department. And they said, you know, if they had a COVID test, you know, and then they can come visit you. So we were very nervous about that. Like the cops are on to us. License plate readers or whatever. You know, I did notice the Illinois license plates look very similar to Massachusetts license plates. So, you know, maybe people mistook our car. But yeah, we had a nice lunch. It was outdoors. The sisters were super nice. They, you know, the ones from Togo and, you know, Germany and all that came out to say hello to us. And we were all masked up. And so I'll post a photo of us taking a group shot where we're all awkwardly spaced. And this, you know, this is the hug where you just make this is a symbol when you're standing 6 feet away. So yeah, all in all, it was very pleasant. It worked out. But you know, we didn't know before that what was going to happen. And I will also say, on our transit, you know, cause you from Ohio, you go into New York, and as on the way to Boston, we were going to stop at a beloved vacation place in upstate New York near Buffalo, just to, you know, hang out, walk the grounds. And we called, and the first time I called, they're like, oh yeah, no problem. Just, you know, we have free gate passes and you can just come for the day. Then when I called back to actually order the tickets and they looked me up, they're like, oh, Mark Smithovitz, you're Illinois. Just so you know, you have to have a COVID test to come here. And I was like,
and this is the retreat center where you've gone a few other years in the past. Yeah, so they wouldn't let you stop there. That's too bad.
No, and I've written about this place because we've gone there twice in the past 6 years, and it's a beloved place. I would have loved to have seen it on this trip, sort of make it the third time, but it wasn't in the cards. And, you know, I don't blame them. They're following the rules. New York has similar rules to Massachusetts. So we just had to skip that and keep going. And, you know, this is our third hotel in 3 days. You know, we were also very anxious about what the hotels would be like. This has been seemed the nicest one so far. They've said they quarantine the rooms. So after they clean them, they don't allow anybody to stay in the room for several days. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think most hotels are going to great lengths to make customers at least to feel very secure to stay there, because, of course, the hotel industry is one of the hardest hit from all of this. So
yeah. And my kids were disappointed because I think one or two of the hotels, the pool was closed.
Oh yeah.
But this one is open.
My brother and niece went to Denver and they left Monday, and they stayed one night in the downtown, I think Marriott in Denver, and you had to make an appointment to go to the pool. So they would only let so many people in the pool at once. And I think you got 90 minutes or an hour or something like that. So, yeah.
The first hotel we went to, which was in Erie, Pennsylvania, didn't have an elevator. And we were on the second floor.
You know,
normally I'd be like, what the hell? ADA lawsuit. You need to have an elevator. But again, in COVID, I'm like, that's cool. Don't have to think about the elevator risk. I'll take the stairs. That's fine with me.
Wow. Was it a modern hotel without an elevator, or was it older?
Yeah, it was. It was. I got to, you know, look, maybe Pennsylvania has some weird exemption or something.
That's weird. I'm wondering if they just told you that, but they actually have one that they're just not operating because of this.
Yeah. Or maybe they put all of the wheelchair people on the first floor.
Yeah, that could be, but wow.
I won't name that. It wasn't a national brand. So
okay.
Other than that, it was a very nice hotel. And then of course the other thing is all of these hotels, we are huge fans of the free breakfast buffet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all gone now too. It's all just grab and go.
Right.
And, you know, they got the muffin and the juice and that's all you get.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, the idea of a buffet, I don't know if I'll ever be a buffet fan again after all of this. But
I know.
Yeah.
It's a sad casualty.
I know,
the
all right?
You can eat buffet industry.
Too bad. Too bad. No. Uh-huh.
So,
although I think there are enough hundreds of thousands of people that were just in Branson, Missouri, or is that where the bike rally was?
No, that was in Sturgis, South Dakota.
Sturgis, South Dakota. There's enough people in America to keep a few Golden Corrals open.
Right, before they die.
Right.
So anyway, we're just going to chill out and then try and hit up a pastry place on our way out to Long Island. And then we're going to spend some time with our good friends there and then head up to Big Indian. It's upstate New York near Albany, which, again, you told me the other day, and I saw this, that Albany has a very cool city hall or state building.
Yeah, actually, so one of my best friends lives in downtown Albany. She's from Albany. I met her in Mass. She lived in the North End when I was living in Boston. So she lived away from her home of Albany, New York for decades. She went from Boston, eventually back to Manhattan, working for a big corporation. And then when they started allowing people from her area to work from home, because she manages some business units that are international too. And she was getting sick of spending so much money on her apartment in Manhattan. So she bought a beautiful condo that is in a renovated factory building in downtown Albany for a fraction of what she was paying to have a teeny tiny little apartment in Manhattan. And I've been to visit her there several times. And so downtown Albany has a cool urban renewal thing going on where there were all of these dilapidated old buildings that they've turned into apartments and cute little, ma and pa, like farm to table type restaurants downtown and stuff. But I'm saying all of this to tell you, the downtown Albany buildings are absolutely gorgeous. And a lot of them have untouched original finishes because the downtown area there has been in disrepair for a long time. So not a lot of corporations have come in to put in Starbucks and restoration hardwares and stuff yet. So whenever I visit Caroline, I kind of puddle around the streets and I will go into the lobbies of these old buildings. And it's just amazing, like old 18th, or I would say 19th century and early 20th century, just like the stuff that you don't see anymore, like the marble and the carvings and the ornate lobbies and entrances. But yeah, New York State House is famous architecturally.
And you and I share an interest in movies and things. I wonder if there's been any significant movies that have been filmed in Albany.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think, SUNY Albany is supposed to have some buildings on campus that are architecturally significant as well. I have to say, whenever I go visit Caroline, I usually just stay around her neighborhood. So I've never actually taken the tour of the New York State House, but everybody says it's really cool to do the whole tour inside. I'm a fan. I'm actually a big fan of upstate New York and the Hudson River Valley. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, but I think what we need to talk about for your listeners is what it's really been like to travel. And right before you went on this trip, you were visited by the Popo. You got in some trouble. And then now you've been traveling, but it sounds like you kind of feel like the man is watching you. So I think,
I think I'm playing that up. I don't want to get into the backstory about the popo thing, but
it's
a lawbreaker. Relevant. Yeah, it is relevant though, because I do have a fair amount of FOMO. Because the other thing is, you know, while you're on vacation, the news doesn't stop. And I don't know if you saw, Chicago was hit by a tornado.
Yeah.
The other day, it landed in Rogers Park, and they said over 7,000 trees were, blown down.
Yeah, tornado in the city is a really scary thing. My mom and I were just talking about that, and I recounted for her a moment in circa 1995 when I was living in Chicago and working for the temp agency, the Choice for Staffing. I don't know if you mm-hmm. remember them. I was actually working for the temp agency itself for a little while, and I was filing some papers, and the most insane storm I've ever seen in my life rolled in across the Chicago skyline. And I still can feel just as frightened as I was that day if I really let myself think about it, because Chicago has some crazy weather. But
yeah,
did any buildings or structures get harmed in that tornado, Mark?
I saw photos of garage roofs being, blown away, obviously trees falling on cars. I think a lot of people are still don't have power or internet. So, yeah. There's a lot of crap going on in Chicago, and just not even weather, but with the whole Black Lives Matter, and our mayor is very unpopular for not, being more progressive in terms of defunding the police, mm-hmm. stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff going on in Chicago. And so in some ways it is good to get away and be on vacation where, and I'm sure there's lots of crap that goes on in all these cities we're talking about, but I'm a tourist. I don't know. I can just be totally oblivious to that. I mean, I see your post about stuff that goes on. Karen, by the way, for those of you who don't know, is based in South Carolina.
Whoopee.
But you're posting about all these things on Facebook too, about these organizations and people running for office. And so, there's a lot of stuff going on in your neck of the woods.
There is. We have a lot of, I live in Charleston, South Carolina, everybody. So we have a unique place in history and a unique place in current events as well. So
yeah.
I get all riled up over things, and we're one of the fastest growing destinations where everybody's moving here. So development is a big problem, but with that comes regentrification, and right here in the middle of this surge in awareness about inequity, we have a road widening project that's going right through a historic Black neighborhood, and it's really making me mad.
Yeah. So, it is good to be on vacation, but it's hard to actually get away because, I'm always connected on the internet, and I'm getting pings and updates about stuff going on. I've got a number of work projects that are kind of going, so I brought all my work gear to have to do stuff. I'm applying for some funds to go back to school, and so that grant application is due. So I'm saying all this because so after we get to New York and we head upstate, we've got this little cottage house, which sounds very tranquil, and I'm sure my family and friends will be going on hikes and nature walks and stuff. But my central question is there Wi-Fi? And if so, how good is the internet?
He's one of those people, everybody.
I like, and also I like to get away and write and blog and do that's kind of my thing. I brought some magazines, that I can read about cyber terrorism. Because that's relaxing.
Just a little light reading for vacation.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, you always have some kind of project going on. So I understand that you want to stay plugged in. But I will say, once again, as I've been saying to you while you were planning this trip, try to enjoy yourself a little bit. Because when you get back home, we just don't know how much longer we're going to have to be quarantined. Yeah. He's pointing to his clam chowder bowl. We're going to have to be confined to home. So try to have a good time.
And when we get off this call, I'm going to chow down on this Odd Fellows ice cream, which was right below Legal Seafood. It's a Brooklyn-based one of these what do you call it? Artisanal ice cream makers.
Uh-huh.
And I could not say no to the I don't even, what flavor was this? I don't know. It had some exotic flan, the summer of flan.
Oh, that sounds good.
You can't get more of a fishy flavor than the summer of flan. It's a caramel dulce de leche kind of flavor. So
yeah, that sounds really yummy, actually. Well, you know, I didn't even give you even the tip of the iceberg of recommendations for where you are. But one thing is for sure, New England is super serious about ice cream. In fact, they claim that people consume more ice cream per capita in New England than anywhere else in the world, even though it's quite cold there for most of the year. So there are a lot of creameries just up around there, but even if you found a Brooklyn-based one, I'm sure it's going to be good. So enjoy that.
Well, you know, we're not too far away from Vermont, which is the home of Ben and Jerry's.
Right.
So,
which I love. Not only I love their ice cream, but I love Ben and Jerry and what they stand for.
Yeah.
Good ice cream and good politics.
So, yeah, I mean, in wrapping up this podcast, I'm sure we'll talk again, and I'm sure food will be a part of it, because, again, our friends in New York are foodies, and them being New Yorkers, they like to be, you know, loud and obnoxious about their food. So I need to defend our Midwestern sensibilities.
Can I ask why you're taking the ferry instead of driving to Manhattan?
Well, I think part of our strategy was to avoid having to drive through New York to get to Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
So by taking the ferry, you know, we can, it drops us off at the end of Long Island.
Right.
And, you know, the last time we were here last year, we spent time on Long Island, and that's a whole nother story. One of the funniest things I wrote on my blog was this bit where our friends from New York chit-chat with this woman who had just stepped off of, I kid you not, it must have been a $10 to $20 million yacht with her little doggies.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this whole little like Abbott and Costello bit about, was she really the owner of this yacht or was she like the help?
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of that, especially out on the end of Long Island where the ferry is going to be dropping you off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that's, you know, and I'm sure there's tons of wealth in Boston as well. What do they call it? The Boston Brahmin?
Yes, yes. Well, yes, definitely. There's the old family, old money sensibility going on there. Also really puritanical kind of sensibility in Boston. But
yeah.
No, I think as far as the East Coast is concerned, you probably can't. There aren't too many places that can beat the sheeshy parts of Long Island that you're talking about.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So whenever we talk next, I'll give you an update, and I'm hoping to maybe take some photos or write something to share. That's where I'll have time to meditate and get away from the business world.
Okay, good. I think, remember, it's a vacation.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you the last word before we sign off. Any bits of advice or?
The last word. I think you're naming this show, The Point of No Return, in this day and time, is a little poignant because I think that our society is in a few different points of no return, or at least I would hope so, because I don't want us to return back to normal. So maybe on a small, small, small scale, you can learn something introspective about yourself so that when you return back to Chicago to continue hunkering down, you'll be a changed person too.
I hope so. And I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, the point of no return, obviously, we hope that physically we do, you know, we're safe and we come back from this trip. I was trying to more allegorically talk about our times that we're in with COVID and stuff and whether as a society we can come back from this brink, which now seems like, you know, without getting too political, like the U.S. has really screwed it up and our government. So you and I share this sensibility around fiction and writing. And I don't know if you saw that when I left, I had this idea, which you'll have to research, see if anyone's ever done it. It feels like we're in a crime drama combined with a zombie movie. How come no one has decided to do a mashup of Breaking Bad and, The Walking Dead?
You know, I will, I'll have to investigate that. That's an interesting genre mash for sure. Would the zombies be the criminals or the detectives? I mean, there's a lot to think about there. And is it a comedy? Because I could definitely see a detective coming in and measuring like the foot drag marks from the zombie criminals that have robbed the safe.
Everything is a metaphor, right? So I would suggest that the zombies are the people who are, you know, have voted for our current president and will continue to do so.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And on that note,
that's
to
a good
all Republican listeners out there. All right.
Okay. Well
thank
was a
you.
Good talk. You're
it's
welcome.
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. I mean, where do you catch the ferry? Down in southeastern Mass?
I think so. I'm not the keeper
like
of that
Fall
information.
Fall River? Maybe Fall River? I'm trying to think.
Right.
Of, yeah.
I mean, it's. I think it's a 90-minute by ferry. And I've been told they have Wi-Fi, which
right,
is probably
the
a bad
thing. Ferry's not out of Boston, I don't think.
No, I think we have to drive south.
Yeah, you got to drive to Fall River. So I'm trying to think where you're at in Waltham. You won't go back into the city to drive south. You'll go around and down.
Well, we do have to find one of the four locations of Mike's Pastry to stop at.
You're really going to do that?
I mean, we got to, right? I have
okay.
Now, even though I'm not a huge cannoli fan, now I have to satisfy my curiosity about why you would recommend a place like that.
Like I said, I'm only endorsing the original location, so
just for the charm. I mean, I'm assuming it's the same product.
It's delicious, and yes, you go there to the original location because you're going to the north end. So, I'm trying to think of somewhere else I could send you that would be a good morning place where you wouldn't have to go all the way into the city. I'll think about that.
Something run by like a Pakistani guy or something who makes, you know, a special, you know, Algerian twist on.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, sure.
That's me. That's the stuff that I really get jazzed about is some fusion twist thing.
Okay. I'll look up a few things for you. I would also send you to Union Square Donuts, but that's way far out of your way. So yeah.
You've hit another weak spot in my heart
donut.
When you say donuts.
Yeah. Union Square Donuts is really good. But yeah, that's too far out of your way. So
yeah.
I'll think about it and text you if I think of anything.
All right.
Okay.
Good night.
Go get
Thank
some
you
sleep.
Again. All
You're
right.
Welcome. Safe travels.
Bye.
Bye.